Hi, I'm Vivek Kartha, and welcome to Deconstructed. Every episode, we're discussing the future of the world's largest asset class, real estate, through the eyes of the people who live and breathe it. Thank you for joining us, and let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you by Workspace. Workspace has built a better way to manage real estate without all the clicks. With a suite of modern, intuitive products for commercial real estate operators, Workspace reduces the friction between assets, data, and people, allowing CRE professionals to streamline all their daily operations across property management, asset management, and beyond. Learn more at www.goworkspace.com. Hi, everyone. We are here today with James Scott, who is the lead researcher at MIT Real Estate Innovation Lab. James, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Really looking forward to this.
Yeah, this is going to be a great conversation. Well, there's a lot going on with commercial real estate in general, prop tech. It's on the headlines everywhere we go after the last year. So, elephant in the room, as you step back and think about the last year or so, what are some of the lessons and thoughts you walk away with as someone that lives and breathes and is steeped in prop tech every day?
I will be quite honest with you. I'm a little surprised how everything has transformed itself over the last year when it comes to this. Adoption would be the word that kind of comes to me straight away. Real estate in the technology sector really has been a little bit behind most other asset classes for the last number of years. Real estate tech, or prop tech, as some people love to call it, it's one of those areas that I'm extremely fond of, and I have a real passion for. But I have to be very fair. Over the last few years, we haven't really seen the adoption of an awful lot of really brilliant technologies the way we hoped we would. And the primary reason for that was mostly because it's an industry that most people looked at it as if it ain't broke, why fix it? And what COVID did was it really helped people understand, especially moving from to the work from home kind of initiative, that maybe technology was something that they could really utilize. While the markets didn't necessarily go down, it wasn't like a case that we had a recession or anything really, in grand terms, the way everything kind of has recovered so much. It has opened up people's eyes to this whole new world of real estate technology. And that's been one of the really best parts of what we've seen come out of COVID. I would also say, that probably the most surprising aspect of all of this has been the amount of investment. Because, for the 3-4 years previous to COVID, we were seeing huge, huge, vast sums of money come into this kind of sector. And March, April, May of last year, most people in the industry, certainly on every podcast or webinar or meeting you would have had, they were a little bit nervous. They didn't think that the money would probably come through the same way as we had. With the WeWork situation had caused an awful lot of concern. People were kind of questioning, returns on an awful lot of these things. But since the middle of summer last year, the investment has gone to a whole new level.
I want to pick up on that last thread. That's really interesting. So you think about, adoption curves potentially rising, greater amounts of investment. What I'd love to just hear, and I know you work on a tech tracker as one of your projects, what are you seeing that excites you? What's getting adopted? Help some of the listeners just understand what that adoption curve looks like in practice.
I work in a number of different spheres with a number of different hats. And so the technology that has definitely got me excited more than most over the last few years has definitely been digital twin. The reason being because I think it is fundamentally a technology that people can really extract value from and will be extracting a huge amount of value from in the not too distant future.
Maybe briefly explain what a digital twin is for us.
So what digital twin is, and it's going to be a little bit hard for me to really paint a picture of this without having some sort of visual cues, but what it really is a virtual representation of anything, and it was actually a technology that was developed by NASA back in the day for the spacecraft, because they needed to be able to run test scenarios on the spacecraft when the spacecraft was in orbit or was, out in space. And so it's using that same technology with a building, be it a hotel or an office building or an industrial unit. And so picture, if you can, let's say a BIM model. But the BIM model, instead of being sort of a static representation of the building, it encapsulating all of the past and present data sensors and information that's attributed to that building into one particular moment in time. And then from that, what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to have an up-to-the-second idea and picture of what's taking place in your building. And then from that, really what you're going to be able to, the kind of really exciting part is you're going to be able to run scenarios and forecast different situations within that building, be it space optimization, be it energy usage, even simple things like a fire drill, what would take place, or even, and then understanding the kind of the highest and best uses of all of the space within that building.
That's a great segue into just talking a little bit about what the MIT Research Lab is working on and how it's set up for those who don't know it. So I lived in Boston for a few years, and MIT sort of has this amazing effect. Whenever you walk onto the campus, you just feel the breath of fresh air, innovation. You feel like you're in the future. So it's going to be great for people to just hear what you and the team are working on.
It's funny you say that, because anytime I ever take anyone through for a tour of MIT, as I've lived in Boston the last few years, the first thing you do is you walk through the infinite corridor, and the amount of lab space that you see, all of the different projects and experiments taking place, you actually feel like you're part of something really special. And that's one of the best parts of campus.
When people hear MIT, they might think of robotics and AI and those things, but Real Estate Innovation Lab. Tell me and tell us a little bit about it.
I ended up at MIT a number of years ago, where I did a master's in real estate development and finance. And through that, I got to know certain individuals, Dr. Andrea Chagou and Professor Dennis Frenchman. And they were at the center of real estate at the time. And they had this idea, which was to become the Real Estate Innovation Lab, which was to really merge the center of real estate at MIT with MIT's technological capabilities to give themselves a research platform to better understand this new wave of real estate technology. That was kind of the real brainchild behind all of this. And they formed the lab, and I became essentially the first employee or the first person to join the lab. And we've just kind of gone from strength to strength within that. So what we do is we work with a number of different industry partners to really kind of delve into either large-scale projects that they might give us themselves or ones that we want to work on ourselves as well, to really kind of delve in under the hood as to what's taking place. Obviously, being MIT, we use an awful lot of computational science. We use an awful lot of data. And what we try to do is really kind of get a better understanding of the value proposition for a number of these or all of this new real estate or prop tech technology.
Yeah, I can imagine people listening might be thinking, well, here's the commercial real estate or real estate world at large. We've talked a little bit about how it's archaic in some ways. And we're also hearing that MIT is dedicating probably its best and brightest researchers to this. And there might be a little bit gap there in practicality. So how would you help people understand, we're talking digital twins and AI and all this sort of stuff in the future, but the industry may be ready for some of that and may not be. So help talk through that practicality side of it.
Most of the real estate industry has often been kind of charged by saying that they're not necessarily the best innovators, but that's not necessarily true. You have a huge amount of stakeholders, and I think that's probably where the biggest issue comes from within real estate. And because you have so many different stakeholders within, let's say, the life cycle of a building, be it the entitlement process, the property management, the asset management, the brokerage side, the construction side, all of those, kind of can sometimes maybe, how will I put it, people can trip over each other a little bit because of that. And so it can be hard to drive innovation through the sphere of the life cycle of a building. Plus, of course, not to mention the huge, vast costs involved with these assets. But within saying that, the amount of people who are at the cutting edge who want to be part of this, they've seen how real estate has been for the last 30 years. Let's be fair about it. How investment analysis takes place is not a million miles of where it was in 1992. How construction processes are done. Don't get me wrong, there are construction platforms that allow you to manage sites pretty well. But how things are done is it's not exactly a million miles from where it was 20, 30 years ago. So there is a real sense of purpose among an awful lot of people within the industry that they want change, that they can see the changes, is that the industry is ripe for change. But more importantly than that, and this is where I think MIT really helps, is that there is now the technological advancement coupled with the awareness of adoption, and more importantly, the financial investment from certain sections of business that want to drive this forward. And that's probably makes this one of the most cutting edge and most exciting places to be at the minute when it comes to real estate and real estate technology.
Let's talk about some of those places to be. So I imagine that you look at the prop tech landscape and you see dozens, probably many dozens of opportunities and ideas and things that excite you. Help us understand a little bit what the partnership with firms outside of MIT looks like, and what are they coming to you for? How do those projects work?
Sure. So first and foremost, we can sometimes get confused with being a consultancy, and that's not what we are. We work with a number of different industry partners who want to be part of this, who've seen that there is real value with that. And they what they want to do is they want to be part of this cutting edge idea. And they will, more often than not, they will give us maybe a specific project to research. They will give us a particular task to research. And through that, you know, we find ourselves, you know, getting a glimpse probably of tomorrow's world. Because what we really then get to see is all of the new technologies and all of the new kind of functions that can really make a big impact on the built environment. And you know, one of the projects I would have to mention, because I've been part of it since its inception, is the Tech Tracker. This is one that we work with in conjunction with JLL as our partner. And they've been, you know, absolutely fantastic through this whole process. And what we've done is we've curated a database. This will go live, actually, the beta will go live in the next few weeks. What we've done is we've created a database that is outlining all of these new technologies. And by technologies, I mean general purpose technologies as opposed to particular companies or products that can affect the built environment, so that we can actually really see it and have it at our fingertips to understand what's coming down in the pipeline, when's it really going to affect us, and how it's going to make, hopefully, going to make the world a better place, and particularly, how is it going to make real estate a better place?
I'm sure something you hear often from the space and folks outside the space is perhaps a caricature of academics, that it's a bunch of great research, it's really smart people, they generate white papers, and then what happens to it? How do you and the team think about evidence of the work you're doing showing up in this space, what success looks like from the projects you're working on? We'd love to hear a little bit about that.
That's a brilliant question, and it's never really been put to me, but I think one of the best parts about the lab is the fact that we have so many people within it who have boots on the ground experience. Because we're part of the Center of Real Estate at MIT, you know, everyone that comes through that is, you know, they're fundamentally have been in either construction, in design, in brokerage, in investment. And they understand real estate from a very much a practical level of and a real level. And don't get me wrong, you know, academia sometimes gets, you know, charged with this idea that they, you know, great ideas and, you know, wonderful research, but they don't really understand the marketplace. But this is where MIT really kind of stands out, I think, among the rest, because it works in such conjunction with the Center of Real Estate. They have a fantastic viewpoint of the realities of what's taken place. And so that's really been one of the great success stories of all of this, because what we can do is we can apply a real practical application and understanding of all of this research with the data that we are essentially curating and getting an understanding of.
That makes sense for regular people. So folks that aren't in commercial real estate software, like you at MIT, like others in real estate private equity, for regular people, what do you expect that they'll see start to show up from the prop tech world in their daily life?
Well, if they've returned to the office, they're probably seeing it right in front of their face. Like, I mean, be it the implementation of touchless technologies, like, I mean, probably is one of the, you know, kind of most practical ones that we're seeing across the board. But what I think, you know, most people will see over the next, we'll say 12 to 36 months, is going to be the evolution of, we'll call it a blended or hybrid office space or a flex space. Because, you know, what we've gone through in the last 12 months is probably the greatest social experiment of all time in transferring people out of cities to this work from home initiative. People wouldn't have been capable of doing that without the implementation of certain technologies. And now, the big question is, what does that mean for certain asset classes, specifically like office? You know, will people return to what we once knew, or will, you know, the C-suite of an organization just decide, hold on here, this is an easy cost to cut. We'll just remove office space as an expenditure from this company, and we'll have everyone work from home. But, you know, I think we all realize that, you know, there's going to be a reality there of some sort of blend of the two, and it's the curation and the kind of the how that all pans out is going to be probably one of the most interesting plays in real estate in many, many years.
I'm going to ask one last question to close out on that topic. Pure speculation. When do you think you'll be back in an office?
Here in Boston, you know, they are rolling out the vaccine, I think, which is a good start. I would imagine that, you know, it's an easy one to say 1st of September, you know, the opening of the academic kind of calendar. How do I think that it'll all pan out? I think people will start to return over the summer months kind of slowly but surely. And then what we'll have is, we'll call it a confidence interval. September through to December, January of next year will be where, you know, it is safe to go back. You know, there's fantastic technologies and implementation of and curation of systems put in place within large buildings and transportation systems so that people will feel safe. It'll need that 4 or 5 month kind of buffer for people to build up the confidence, to see that the numbers are down, for everybody to, you know, for the vaccine to be completely rolled out. And I think that's you know, it's somewhere in between there. You know, most people will start to return, I think, September, but you know, fully fledged back in the office from where we once were, or sorry, for what people have decided is how their company is going to move forward with working from home, I think will be start of 2021. Sorry. Well, what am I saying? We're in 2021. I lost a year of my life with COVID. I'm in the start of 2022.
We all have. I'm definitely excited to get to the other side of that. Well, thank you, James. Thanks for being with us. And we'll look forward to seeing more from you and the team.
Take care.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening. And as always, a very special thank you to our guests. We'll be back soon, so please subscribe to Deconstructed on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. More details can be found at www.goworkspace.com/podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Workspace. Workspace has built a better way to manage real estate without all the clicks. With a suite of modern, intuitive products for commercial real estate operators, Workspace reduces the friction between assets, data, and people, allowing CRE professionals to streamline all their daily operations across property management, asset management, and beyond. Learn more at www.goworkspace.com.